Hello everyone, this is Giulio Coraggio. I'm the location editor of the Italian Intellectual Property and Technology Department here at DLA Piper, and this is the podcast Diritto Digitale. Today I have a great guest, Matthew Gardiner, founder of A1 AI. Matthew, thank you for accepting our invite. It's a real pleasure to have you here. And obviously, we're going to discuss about artificial intelligence. What else? During the months before Christmas, everyone was talking about ChatGPT, GPT-3, its implementations, generative AI. That was brilliant. Then we had the announcements from Google, the announcement from Microsoft. You run a consultancy company on artificial intelligence, Web3, and we will discuss about it also during this podcast. But can you give some indications on how a business can actually exploit generative AI within their day-to-day operations?
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for your invitation. Very pleased to be here. I hope we're getting through with connection okay. I'm not speaking from Mars, but we are going up to space and back. It's a great podcast. Pleased to be here. And you're quite right, Julio. Really looking at big implementations or serious implementations of AI. It's quite difficult. There's a lot of buzz. I feel we're at an inflection point at the moment, really, where people are really seeing the power of business AI and moving towards perception AI. Haven't seen it before. We've had it, to give you some real examples, in 2017. JP Morgan had Project Coin, which reduced 600,000 hours, or a big number of hours, down to 6 seconds. That was mainly KYC work with machine learning. But yeah, we saw that kind of clarion call coming forward. So at the same time, Robin Lee from Baidu, very big in AI at the time, said any task that can be split to 4 seconds will eventually, if it can be split into units of 4 seconds, can be overtaken by AI. This is back in 2017. Also from China, we had Jimmy Chuchao, which is from ByteDance, which is the TikTok home. And they were at the Olympics in Rio in 2016, producing reports very quickly on races. So we see these kind of predictable events and program events are very, very good for using generative AI. And to give you some examples, really in media, generating press releases, perhaps not too complex, that's certainly a good use. Product guides, certainly a good use. And any repetitive tasks, so KYC, AML, collation, I think AI can be left to it or it can be scrutinized quite easily. And finally, I'll say a lot of this, there's a lot of hype, but a lot of it is focused on images. So a lot of people don't know this. It's trained on images a lot. So you'll see things like runway. Try runway, and you'll see how animation is done very quickly. I was talking to a big creative advertising agency lead the other day. He said a project that would have cost them millions cost them hundreds of thousands because AI did all the coloring in, if you like. So, yeah.
That is a good point. So on the one end, you see that artificial intelligence, it can replace humans in repetitive tasks. On the other end, I see that generative AI can become a big help, a big time saving in human tasks. So without replacing the human, but supporting the human. Is it right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to be careful. A lot of writers are complaining that they've been sidelined really by generative AI, only to find they've been brought in as editors, sometimes on a lower rate, and they spent more time editing the content. So it's not so smart yet. Like Jimmy Chuchao was very focused. It was delivering news to anyone in China that was programmed for them, but it was one way. ChatGPT is two way. So we see, I think we saw with Bing had a big disaster really a couple of weeks ago, a PR nightmare, I would say, where a New York Times journalist had Bing falling in love with him. Pleading with him, telling him to leave his wife and all kinds of things. So we see it's not quite perfect yet. Again, Bard from Google, $100 million, $100 billion, I think, went off the share price. So I'm looking at now this article. Yeah. when Bard failed as an AI race. So what I'm trying to say succinctly is it's good for anything basic right now. Going forward, it will be good for more complex tasks.
Okay, so it's a work in progress, most of these technologies are in a beta version. However, they can already be quite useful in supporting the business operations. Do you have any sort of a best practices for businesses that don't want to be left behind, but at the same time, they don't want to take a risk? Like, for a legal counsel like me, one of the issues on generative AI is, for instance, on confidentiality. If I give information about my clients to a generative AI, I'm concerned that all that information will go within the system of the generative AI and will be used to give responses to other users of the same system. So at the moment, confidentiality and segregation of data is a very hot topic in any sort of legal or any type of task that requires confidentiality to be kept.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see this in the creative industries. We've got about 8 legal cases running at the moment where I think Getty Images is a big one. If you look at BrewDog, you'll find them all mounting up, but where a lot of art has or creative work has been used and reproduced by AI. Therefore, you find Getty Images, for example, launching a case. So yeah, a lot of care has to be taken around this. Obviously, Allen and Overy made a big statement recently with their use of ChatGPT. So my advice is to really go into this and reverse engineer it. Think, what do you want to get out of it? What will the end process be? And do you have any specialists working on it? It really is an area that does need some specialist knowledge. It needs to be highly strategic with and absolutely guard confidential data away from it. So if you're looking at some advertising copy or some invitations, those kind of things, great. But in terms of more complex legal work, absolutely no.
Do you see any sort of interception between generative AI and Web3? That is another very hot buzzword, like the metaverse, NFTs. How do you see that these two areas of innovation can tangle?
Yeah, really moving forward. So you're talking about images as I was before. Now we're talking about things like Character GPT being launched by Polygon Labs. They enable characters in the metaverse, which is a big business there too. They enable them to be programmed by AI. So they could represent us having this conversation, for example. If somebody listening now walked in, the AI could respond and could alter our responses. So yes, able to have these kind of amorphous characters in the metaverse, which have more uses than you think when you consider that JP Morgan are in the metaverse, Fiat is, Adidas, a lot of big brands are there already. So it's able to run itself in a way.
And you see still potentials in the metaverse because we have seen some big tech that are divesting their resources from the metaverse and focusing them on generative AI. I mean, can the two investments go in parallel, or you think that, the metaverse, it was just the focus of last year, and since there wasn't an explosion of its potentials, it's kind of forgotten at the moment.
Yeah, we can see, I think, for tech companies, it's a big area of failure, notably. But what we don't really see is brands moving into there very prolifically. So if you look at Amazon, they're entering the metaverse. Bob Iger's got back to Disney. He's seen the potential there. He sees NFTs as being a big, big part of it. Starbucks is in there. All the fashion brands. There's a fashion week next week. So really, it's become a general purpose technology. I think the tech companies have been outrun. Now it's more about brands getting in there. It's like driving a car. You don't need to know how the engine works anymore. You just need to drive it. So it's hard for tech companies, but easier for brands.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see that the metaverse, NFTs, and generative AI, apart from being very strong marketing initiatives, can they actually become some new revenue streams, revenue generators, or it's just kind of a promotion?
We'll see. I mean, what's very promising or what's very quite astounding is the world of social gaming. So if you think about Wild the World, for example, Wild the Wheels, a small game, ex-Epic game designers, you can buy a car in there and rent it out. So you begin to have in social gaming these assets which you can buy. It's, I think it's 45% of assets in the metaverse are items, wearables, which do have value within a gaming ecosystem. So moving forwards, where we see more life replicated in the metaverse, absolutely, there's value there. It's a strange concept, but it's like Instagram 10 years ago. You wouldn't really think it would be so active. Now it's Instagram in 3D. So that's the case for it, which is quite compelling.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you, Matthew. It was a very nice chat. Thank you for your time. And we will catch up definitely for the next hype. Thank you again.
The next hype, whenever it is. And I guess AI bias is the next topic, but I just deal with